It's so good to see each one of you here this morning. I'd encourage you to open up your Bibles at this time to the book of 1 Peter. To the book of 1 Peter, we're going to look at a text that we're going to be studying this morning from the book of 1 Peter. What a beautiful day it is that we can come together to sing praises to God and to study a portion of His will. And this morning, we're going to begin, you should be there already, in 1 Peter chapter 1. In verse 13, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. There we have recorded, I'm using the New King James Version, we have recorded in Scripture, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hopefully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." What I've chosen to do this morning is take that first phrase, and that is to gird up the loins of our mind. Now, if you have a different version, I've got here the English Standard Version on the chart there. Instead of the idea of girding up the loins of your mind, the English Standard Version says, therefore, preparing your minds for action. In other words, we have to have a mindset to make the right choices. And we're going to see that over and over again as we study that phrase. Now, technically, we could just read from 13 all the way down to verse 18, 19, and talk about holiness. But I'm working on a different lesson on holiness. So this morning, just for a short period of time, we're going to talk about the fact of girding up our minds. Now, I want to begin with a few illustrations of that. So let's go right into our lesson this morning. Let's turn back to Numbers chapter 13. In Numbers chapter 13, we're all familiar with Numbers 13. This is the occasion where they were instructed to take the land. And we find Joshua, now remember, we're talking about girding up the loins of your mind. So we have Joshua and Caleb in Numbers 13 and verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." Now remember verses 27, 28, they talked about this land they went, this land of Canaan was flowing with milk and honey and many fruits, but the peoples were large. They were mammoth. They were warriors. And what we have here, Caleb, remember, gird up the loins of your mind. Caleb said, "Let's go take it." However, in the same context, those who didn't gird up the loins of their mind in verse 31, "But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.'" Okay, one word kept the people in the wilderness for 40 years. We are able, we are not able. Caleb and Joshua had their minds girded, whereas the 10 spies convinced the people, "No, we can't do it." Remember, gird up the loins of your mind for action. If our minds aren't such, we're going to make the wrong choices and the wrong action. Now, let's go and explain this a little bit further. Now, we find Joshua and Caleb, their position, if you look at Numbers chapter 14, go one chapter over, Numbers 14 and verses 7 through 9. There it states, "And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land we pass through to spy out is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them.'" You see, he had girded up his mind. That Joshua and Caleb had a mindset, if God wants us to have this land, what? We're going to have this land. Oh, and by the way, did they see God working for them before this? Were they taken out of Egypt? Did they see that happening before this? So they know God is with them, and that's what Joshua and Caleb, they've girded up the loin of their mind. If God said we're going to take this land, let's go take it. However, those who didn't gird up their mind, Numbers 13:33. There the 10 said, "There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." You see the difference of focus there? The ten's focus was on the circumstance and themselves. The two, the focus was on God and strength from him. Gird up the loins of their mind. You would agree with me, the ten didn't gird up the loins of their mind. They forgot about God. And they convinced the people to go in the wrong direction for about 40 years. But let's go to another illustration. Let's go to a second illustration beginning in Genesis. And Genesis chapter 39, in Genesis chapter 39, we're all familiar with this. We have recorded of Joseph. Now I'm going to begin and read verse 7, but those men who are handsome, here's a warning. Look at verse 6. Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Maybe had he not been handsome, she wouldn't have been after him, but that's neither here nor there. But as we go on to verse 7, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in this house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. Okay, so here we have Joseph. Potiphar's wife is trying to seduce him. Very clear there. And it's not just a one day only, it's day by day. But Joseph has girded up the loin of his mind, has he not? He said, how can I do this great wickedness? And doesn't say sin against Potiphar, but sin against who? Sin against God. Now let's take another individual we're all familiar with, David. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Samuel chapter 11. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, beginning in verse 1, it talks about in the spring of the year, at that time when the kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab, his servant, with him, and all of Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. Now, it's interesting why he remained in Jerusalem. We're not given the answer, but he remained in Jerusalem. In verse 2, then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house, and from that roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. And we know the rest of that story, don't we? Two godly men. One girded up the loin of his mind and stayed focused to God and didn't sin. The other, on this occasion, David, did not gird up the loins of his mind. And we know the terrible sin that took place and the harm that took place afterwards. So again, here's an occasion on the idea of girding up your mind on two people who were focused to the Lord, but at one point of time, on this occasion, David was not focused to the Lord. Now I say that because when we talk about girding up the loins of your mind, brethren, it's not a one-shot only deal. It is something that we have to do continuously. Because now that we've got the negative of David, let's go to the positive. And before we do that, let's go to James chapter 1, talking about what happens, what David did. David is the fulfillment of James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Okay, what did David do? He walked up on the roof. He sees this woman bathing. What should have he done? Got down off the roof immediately. He longed after her. And being the king, he desired her. And he fulfilled his desire. And that's exactly what James talks about. When desire hath conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is full grown, it brings forth death. So again, what are we talking about this morning? 1 Peter 1:13. Gird up the loins of your mind. Why? So that the actions you do are correct actions and not incorrect. We see Joshua and Caleb, correct actions. We see the ten, incorrect actions. They didn't gird up the loins of their mind. They didn't have God in focus. On this occasion, we see Joseph correct action. We see David, who's spoken of as a man of God, incorrect action, because he didn't gird up the loins of his mind. Now, let's take David on the positive situation. Let's not leave him on the negative, because there's many positives about David. Let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And, of course, we're familiar with this one. This is Goliath. And in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verses 10 and 11, we have Israel. Now, remember, when we talk about Israel here, we're not talking about a people who weren't affiliated with war. The Israelites were men of war, were they not? They had many warriors. They had many brave men, but not on this occasion. Because they were just enamored by the size of this giant Goliath and his power and strength. And we find in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 10, "And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we might fight together. When Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and what? Greatly afraid." These are people of war. Israelites knew war. But somehow they were fearful of this. And he's taunting them. It's not simply that they're fearful of him because they heard about this man. He's taunting them day by day. Send me a man. And 1 Samuel 17, verses 23 and 24. And 1 Samuel 17, 23. This is talking about as David came to his brothers. And then as he talked with them, there was the champion of the Philistines of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words, so David heard them. What were the same words? Give me a man to fight with me. That's the same words. Day after day, David comes to his brothers, and David hears this. Goes on to state, it says in verse 24, "And all the men of Israel saw the man and fled from him, and they were dreadfully afraid." Not just a little bit afraid, dreadfully afraid. Now look at David. And 1 Samuel 17, 26. "Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, What shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and take away the reproach of Israel?" I want to stop here. What were they doing? Nothing. They were hiding in fear. Not only did David realize what this man was doing, but that it brought a reproach to God's people, Israel. He goes on to state, "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Do you see a contrast in attitude here? Do you see David, that his mind was focused to God? How are we letting this one get away with this uncircumcised Philistine who ridicules God's people day after day? What's going to be done? Now, David just wasn't a man of words. David was a man of action. Because you see, David had his mind girded to do that, which was right. Gird up the loins of your mind. As you go to verses 45 through 47, as he appears before the Philistine, "Then David said to the Philistine, You come to me with a sword and with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will..." Look at verse 46. Did David have any doubt who was going to win? Not at all. "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses to the camp of the Philistines, to continue to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." We know the rest of that story, don't we? Thank goodness for David. Thank goodness he had a mindset. His mind was girded not due to the circumstance, but due to whom he served. How could this uncircumcised Philistine defy God? Something needs to be done. And all those warriors before David As they're hiding behind the rocks, David goes out and defeats the Philistine. Gird up the loins of your mind. On both occasions, we see the focus of being focused to God. Joseph focused to God. Here, David focused to God. Joshua and Caleb focused to God. You know what causes us to get ourselves in trouble? We quit focusing to God. Is that a possibility? As Christians, we get so overwhelmed by the circumstance, we don't have God in the picture. And therefore, we have not girded up our loins of our mind to handle whatever comes our way. Is that a possibility? Is that something we have to work on day by day? You see, David, one time he did good, one time he did bad. Because you see, it's not a one-shot only day. I can gird up the loins of my mind today, but guess what? If tomorrow has been given to me, I got to gird up my mind then also, and the next day, and the next day. Now let's go to another illustration. Paul. We knew him before he became Paul as Saul. He was a persecutor of the church before he became Paul. He did so honestly, but doing something honestly doesn't necessarily make it right. When he was informed what was right, he turned and he served God. And Paul continually girded up the loins of his mind. Let's go to some illustrations, for instance. I want to suggest he girded up his mind because he had no regrets. No regrets for what he did. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Now, prior to becoming a Christian, and I can't show you many passages here, but I think you would agree with me, he was elevating himself in the religion of the Jews. When he was Saul, he was moving, we would say today, he was moving the fast track up in Judaism, was he not? When he went into the city, the Jews looked upon him favorably. I'm sure when he went into the city, he didn't get the lowest of seats. That this was an up-and-coming Jew who was going to defend Judaism and what it stands for, even though they got caught up in traditionalism. And he gave that up. So he'd go into a city as a Jew being praised. But after he became a Christian, he goes into the city and usually has to flee because they're trying to kill him. Right? Big change. How do you handle that? Don't you think it'd be easy to get discouraged? That's what I once had, now look at me. Wouldn't have that been easy to do that? But he didn't. He didn't because he girded up the loins of his mind. He realized spiritually what he had gained, not what he had given up. Let's read Philippians 3. In Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 7, he states this. But what things were gained to me, these things I have counted for loss for Christ. Yet indeed I count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, who I have suffered the loss of all things. Stop. Is he telling the truth here? Has he suffered the loss of all things? He sure has. And counted them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. I want to stop at verse 8. He's not talking about this to people feel sorry for himself. He said, the things that were gained for me, I count as rubbish. You see his mindset? That I might gain Christ. He goes on and said, and be found in him, not have mine own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. What a mindset. You ever see someone become a Christian and they kind of long for the past? That's scary to me. You know, when I see that, you know what that tells me? Their mindset is not what it should be. Because when you and I become Christians, we should have no longing for the past. We should be happy where we're going and who we are and what we have. Oh, but when I wasn't a Christian, no, I don't want to share anything when I wasn't a Christian. Because I've gained much more as a Christian. I don't long and despair on what I gave up. I long and thankful for what I've gained. That's what Paul did, right? Also, when we look at Paul, Paul suffered. Would you agree with me that while he was in the Jewish religion, he was the one creating the suffering, not the one suffering? But now as he's become a Christian, he's now the one suffering. What was his mindset? Well, we could go to many passages. I'm just going to give you an example. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Gird up the loins of your mind. Remember what you have chosen to do and who you are and who gives you that strength if you allow him to. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, listen to Paul describe his life as a preacher of the gospel. Beginning in verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about the body of the dying Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be manifest in our bodies. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might be also manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Kind of like a rough life, isn't it? But look at what he goes on to state in verses 17, 18. Now remember what we just read, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Look at 17. For our light affliction. Does your Bible say that? For our light affliction. I want to stop here. I know you've studied your Bibles diligently. Look at Paul's life. Would you qualify it as light affliction? I wouldn't, would you? Would I? I wouldn't. But he said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working in us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. And that's where he gets the idea of light affliction. The things that are seen are what? Are temporal. There's the idea of light affliction. But the things which are not seen are eternal. You see his mindset? He girded up his mind, so yeah, he had to go through suffering. But he looked at it as being light affliction in comparison to what awaited. What happens if our mindset is not like that when affliction comes? We cower and give in to the affliction. Is that possible? So again, what do I have to do so that don't happen? Have my mindset. Gird up the loins of your mind. And then Paul's aim. Let's never forget his aim. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1, Christianity is a taught religion. It's not something that is inherited. Now, parents, as you teach your children, it's still a taught religion. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, according to my earnest expectation and hope, in that nothing shall I be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now Christ will be magnified by my body, whether by life or death. Christ will be magnified in my body. For to me to live is gain. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. There was his focus. And how did he do that? Galatians chapter 2, 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Where do we get that faith? Romans 10, 17. Let's take it together now. Here's Paul, who once was Saul, became Paul, and he worked on his mindset to always please Christ. How about that? What about us? You see, now we're going to come to the final point of our lesson this morning, talking about you and I. How can I make sure that I have the mindset that I gird up the loins of my mind to action? Because there's actions I'm going to have to do. There's actions I'm going to have to withdraw myself on different things. There's actions wherein I'm going to have to stand. There's actions wherein I'm going to be challenged. And I'm going to say I'm going to fail in those actions if I don't gird up the loins of my mind. and it does not come about by chance. It comes about as we look at some of these things. The first being, I need to be informed. I need to be informed as to what God's will is. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. While you're turning to Colossians 3, and you know sometimes I ask questions, I don't expect any verbal response. I don't expect any response to me at the end of services. But I just want to ask you this. Go back 3 days. That would be Saturday, Friday, and Thursday. 3 days. My question is simple. In those 3 days, did you spend any time in the Word of God? You don't have to tell me nothing. It's none of my business. But I'm going to tell you this. If you didn't, you're not taking time to gird up the loins of your mind. It's as simple as that. I'm not laughing about it. That's a fact. And I didn't say that you wanted to, but the day just got away from you. Has the day ever gotten just away from you? Has to most of us at one time or another. That's why I have to remind myself on a daily basis to gird up the loins of my mind. I've got to develop habits, just like it's a habit of brushing my teeth, and it's a habit of bathing and making myself smell clean when I go out. It's a habit that I need to daily get that information that God needs to give me so that I can gird up my mind. I've decided after 40-some years of preaching, I can't make anybody study. You don't want to study? Don't study. You're going to have horrible results if you do that, but again, I can't make you study. I'm going to not browbeat you to study. I'm just showing you. How do you gird up your mind? You gird up your mind by knowledge. Is that not so? Whose knowledge? God's knowledge. And how do you get that knowledge? Through the study of His Word. Now, I'm not going to tell you how much time you need to study per day, but I am going to say this very clearly. If you're not doing it daily, you need to think about that and change your pattern. And Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10, it tells us here, and having put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. I can't know that image if I'm not having the knowledge, correct? So he said, we have this image, but it's based on knowledge, not knowledge of my opinion. And when I say study, I'm not saying go to a religious book that's written by someone. When I'm saying study, I'm saying going to the book and see what the book has to say. I'm not saying you can't have those other books, but make those other books secondary. Make this book primary. Go back to Colossians chapter 1. And Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask you that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. Does He want us to be filled with the knowledge of His will? Yeah. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know why we want to have that wisdom and spiritual understanding? So that we gird up our minds and make the right choices. You're bombarded with choices every day. Verse 10, that you might walk worthy of, notice what it says. It does not say walk worthy of the congregation here. It says that you might walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. I have determined the older I get, the dumber I get. Because as I prepare my lessons, things I know, it slips past me and I have to go back and get the dust off. And as I get the dust off, I learn more. And then I ask myself, why didn't I catch that the first time or the second time or the 12th time? Why did it take me 45 times to finally catch that? You get like that sometimes? But that's what happens when you study. That's what happens. So it has to be that if I want to gird up the loins of my mind, I've got to be informed. Okay? Now let me say this. I can have a lot of knowledge. I can quote a lot of passages. But it's not going to do any good. Not going to do any good unless I'm transformed. Unless I'm transformed. In Romans chapter 12, let's go to Romans chapter 12. We have recorded for us here in Romans chapter 12, very simple passage. We use this all the time, and I don't apologize for using it many times. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's very easy for us not even realizing to be conformed. If you watch any TV whatsoever, some of the channels, what they focus on is food. I wonder why we're always overweight. Because you get so many commercials on food, what does that make you do? It says, I've got to go get something to eat. And most of us don't go to the refrigerator and get carrot sticks. We usually get something that tastes a whole lot better than carrot sticks. Not realizing we're being formed by what society wants. Now, I was saying, it's always amazing to me. I had to buy a new phone, and my phone, this not making up, my phone was so old, they were not giving me a credit for my phone. They're giving me a credit for my age. That is true. You can ask my wife. That you've been with us so long, I can't give you anything for your phone, but I can give you some money for your age. And you see, some, though, society tells you got to have the best. I've got so many new features on my phone, I leave it in the car because I still haven't figured out the vibrating and all that stuff there, so it stays in the car. Because what Sue will do for me, you don't have to put on vibrate, just turn it on low. Yeah, but what happens if I forget to turn it back on high? And I miss a half a dozen calls because I don't hear nothing. So I just leave it where it is, and it sits in the car. So if you want to steal my phone, it's my car. Go get it. But the point is, we get caught up to society, right? I probably got a camera that's better than any camera I've ever had in my phone. I'll never use it, but it's there. Now, those things are innocent. But there are things that society promotes that are not innocent that we also get caught up in if we're not renewing our mind, right? That's why in verse 2, don't be conformed, but be transformed, renewing of your mind. That's why as I get older, I'm very careful as to what songs I select to put on my, that was new too. I was the only guy in the health club, I think, with things hanging down, the old-fashioned ear. I'm now a big shot. I got these new earbuds that scares me to death, because if I lose that thing, those things are expensive. But the point is this. I'm just showing you, without us even realizing, we get conformed. Some areas are not necessarily bad, but other areas are. And I could go into great detail, but I won't this morning. Be careful there. You watch TV programs, they promote things that are not godly. They promote homosexuality, they promote men with men, they promote women with women. Those things, they can be promoted all they want, but that's not biblically right. A lot of the commercials promote alcohol. It amazes me. They promote gambling, and then they tell, gamble responsibly. Hey, let me tell you something. The responsible thing is don't gamble. That's the responsible thing, right? But people get a little bit. It only takes a little bit to lead you down the road. That's why we transform our mind. Let's go on. And then we got to be diligent. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Okay, I'm going home today and I'm going to start studying and here's what I'm going to, and that's great. I'm glad you got the zeal to go home and do that. But now we got to be diligent. Be diligent to present yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You ever see people start out good and just fizzle out? They're not diligent. Now, what should lead me to be diligent is this passage. I want to present myself approved to God. Not to be diligent to present yourself approved to the preacher. Don't worry about me. I want to be diligent to be approved to God. What does God want of me? If he wants me to gird up my mind, how does he want me to be? Oh, and again, that goes to one of my pet peeves. If you are a child of God, or if you desire to be a child of God, understand this clearly, and I'm a firm believer of this. When you commit yourself in baptism, raised to walk in newness life, it is no longer your life. It is you trying to manifest him in the rest of the life that you have. I get so bent out of shape when I hear a Christian say, well, it's my life. I can do whatever I want. No, you cannot. According to Scripture. You were buried with them in baptism. What? To raise, to walk in newness of life. It's no longer your life. It's his life in you. It's his life in me. And I've got to be diligent at that. And it's not limited to Sunday mornings. Guess what's coming up? Taxes. Oh boy, April 15th. I believe you should take every legitimate deduction you can take. But if you're taking deductions that are not legitimate, remember whose life you're trying to live. You're trying to live for him. What would God want? What would God want? I know this from years ago. Now, I know we have some here prepare taxes for others. Praise God you're willing to do that. I don't even prepare my own anymore. But years ago, temporarily, I worked at H&R Block. And inevitably, someone would say, how much can I take for contribution? And I would say, as much as you gave. That was never a sufficient answer. Their second question was, how much can I say I gave for contribution and donations that wouldn't trigger an audit? I said, as much as you gave. They didn't like that. Can you lie on your taxes? Yeah, you can. Be sad to go to hell because you lied on your taxes, wouldn't it? That'd be a sad thing, wouldn't it? I'm not saying anybody here does that, but I'm going to tell you what, a lot of people do. A lot of people do. You're no longer living for yourself. You're living for Christ. Are you not? So therefore, I've got to be diligent. And then on our studying, last passage on that, let's go to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. We have recorded for us here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed when? Day by day. You know what's interesting about our physical bodies? No one has to tell me to eat daily. Does anyone have to tell you to eat daily? In fact, one of the first things I do when I get up in the morning is, what am I going to eat? And also, my wife makes fun of me because I do some of the cooking. So about 11 in the morning, I said, what are we going to have for dinner? She said, we just ate lunch. Well, yeah, but I'm already focusing ahead. What are we going to have back then? No one has to tell me I need to eat, as you can see. That should be the same way spiritually. No one should have to tell you need. We do it day by day so that we can be diligent, informed, and transformed. And if we do that, we'll be girding up our minds and make the right choices. You will make choices when you go leave this building today. You'll either make good choices or bad choices. Depends where your mindset is. If you keep God in the picture. Two more things, the lesson's yours. We need to remain focused. When I say remain focused, let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. And Colossians chapter 3, it states, if you were then raised, verse 1, if you were then raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. This is not a suggestion. This is an instruction to Christians. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. You see, if my mindset is on Christ and the Father, I'll be focused to where I'm going. And that's heaven, right? And I'll help make the right decision. Now, I have to tell you, it's not all the time I make right decisions. I pay the price for it when that happens. But again, what I'm trying to tell you, to make the right decision, I've got to gird up my mind. I can't gird it up for you. You can't gird mine up for me. I've got to gird up my mind by the teaching of the Word of God so that I do make right decisions. And also it says in Philippians chapter 3, and verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now back in verse 13, forgetting those things that are behind, there's basically two mindsets about that. Some will say forgetting those things that are behind is forgetting the bad things you've done, you've got been forgiven, you need to forget that, you need to move on. That might be true. Others will say forgetting those things that are behind, that you don't rest on your past accomplishments. Okay, it's over in the new. Why can't we take them both? Just forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth to the things that are ahead. Pressing toward that goal. Not a single one of us in this audience are at the goal right now. You know why? We're still here. We're still here. So we need to keep on pressing toward that goal. I like watching the Olympics, winter. I like sports, you know that. I especially like the Summer Olympics because the Americans do better in the Summer Olympics than they do in the Winter Olympics. But the point is this, when I'm watching those races, and you know, they make it look so easy, don't they? And we know it's not. But really, I like the long races, the 26-mile. And there, could you imagine if the guy got 25.5 and said, I'm tired, I just quit. You'd be yelling at the television set, wouldn't you? Those of us that are older, don't quit. Don't quit. Keep on pressing forward. Those of you that are younger, pace yourself so you won't quit. First race I ran, I never ran 26 miles. I'd be dead had I done that. But I ran a 10K. Very first time, Lake City, Florida. I trained for it. Oh, I was pumped up the day of the race there. And when that gun shot off, I darted out. And I thought, I'm doing great. I'm passing up all these people. And, that was the first quarter mile. I had a little bit, almost 6 miles to go. True story. I finished the race, second to last. People 20 and 30 years older than me were passing me up. That was so embarrassing. I'm running around the final track, and here's someone who's old enough to be my grandmother just passing me up as if I'm walking. But I had to finish the race. Brethren, finish the race. And remember this. Why do we stay spiritually minded? For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If you're spiritually minded, you'll gird up your mind and you'll have life and peace. I hope this helps you. I hope this was not just something you had to use up 20 minutes of your time. Go home and study this out. I don't expect you to remember everything of this lesson, because if you asked me 2 days from now every point of this lesson, I probably couldn't tell you. But I hope there's something within this lesson that you will remember and take to heart and gird up your mind. And if you're here this morning and not a child of God, why not begin by repenting and being baptized for the remission of your sins? That's what God instructs in Acts chapter 2. And that's what he instructs in all the cases of conversion. Why is that? Because that's where you and I come into contact with the blood of Jesus Christ. And then after you've done that, remember, it's no longer your life. It's him living in you. Now thank God he's patient with us. Because I need his patience. How about you? But with his patience, keep on growing. Keep on trying to be that person. And never give up. If I'm not mistaken, it's been years and my memory doesn't serve me well, but I believe it was Winston Churchill when things were going bad over there. He made a famous speech. And here's, if I understand it correctly, here what it was. Never, never give up. That's it. Isn't that a good speech? Don't give up serving God. As we stand and as we sing.